You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello, your host here, Colton Molesky, and today we're going to be talking about the Timberwolves' victory over the Charlotte Hornets, as well as expectations moving into December, and kind of comparing and contrasting them to last year, making sure that the Minnesota Timberwolves faithful have their heads and their expectations in the right place when concerning their home team. First, let's talk about the Charlotte Hornets. Last night, Timberwolves took on the Charlotte Hornets and won 121-104. It was a tight one early on, Charlotte and Minnesota tying 31-31 in the first quarter, and then in the second, Charlotte edging out the Timberwolves 33-31. But in the second half, that's where the Timberwolves really took off, 24-22 in the third quarter, and then in the fourth quarter, 35-18. Huge nights for the Timberwolves across the board. He had 35 points, 12 rebounds for Towns, and 6 blocks for the big man down low. He had 26 points for Wiggins. He shot 57% from the field, 60% from the three-point line. He had only 3 points for Teague, but he had 18 assists, 17 points for Covington, and he had 16 off the bench for Derrick Rose. He added 3 assists as well off the bench. The team as a whole shot 53% from the field, 50% from the three-point line. Now, looking at this win, looking at the opponent box scores, there's a couple of things that stick out. First, Kemba Walker, only 15 points. Really good job on him. He only shot 37% from the field. A clear goal for the Timberwolves was to let the Charlotte Hornets shoot the three. They weren't going to get drawn in by Kemba Walker, or they weren't going to get drawn in by the three-point shooting, excuse me, to really let Kemba Walker go off down low, because really inside is where Kemba Walker is going to do most of his damage. And so they weren't going to get drawn in by that. The Hornets ended up shooting 12 of 33, 36% from the three-point line. And so you had guys like Nicholas Batum. He had a pretty solid game. He's been quiet this season, but 18 points for him, 41% from the field. You had Michael Kidd-Gilchrist was starting. He chipped in 9 points. Cody Zeller at center chipped in 9 points. You had three players off the bench score double-digit points in Frank Kaminsky, Miles Bridges, and Malik Monk, all chipping in off the bench with 10 points apiece. Pretty solid stuff as far as just top-to-bottom roster-wise for the Charlotte Hornets, but it was never enough to really put away the Timberwolves, and then the Wolves really came back strong in the fourth quarter. And by the way, 2 games in a row now, you have the Rockets game and you have the game against the Charlotte Hornets here where the Timberwolves were able to really show out and stand out in the fourth quarter, and that's something that's an encouraging turnaround. I want to get to that in a second, but first let's keep filing through this box score and some of the things that went down last game. So one of the biggest things I think that happened was it really looked like Andrew Wiggins had that game where he could bounce back, had that game that he desperately needed to have, where he wasn't only putting up a solid amount of points, which he did, but he also did really efficiently. Again, 57%, he shot 11 of 19 from the field, 3 for 5 from three-point range. That's really encouraging stuff for Andrew Wiggins. Really good marks for him. It just seemed like he needed one of those games to snap out of that funk. Hopefully this means for him that going forward, he's going to kind of resemble that Andrew Wiggins that started the season, the Andrew Wiggins that you hope you see offensively, consistently from him. And so going forward, maybe that means that in this stretch of games, especially for this road stint that they're going to embark on, that he can reach a little bit of a consistent level of offensive production that you kind of hope from your max level player. But I think it was the kind of production that you were getting from him earlier in the season. I know that he wasn't posting crazy numbers, but he seemed to be pretty consistent on offense and then free-flowing on defense and loose on defense. Hopefully he finds that rhythm again here, and I think this is just the game to kind of jar that play loose for Wiggins. But the other thing you had was Teague really doing a good job of finding what the offense was calling for. Didn't really play outside of himself. He only shot 1 of 6 from the field. Just wasn't feeling it as far as offensively scoring the ball. And so you saw him really adapt to what the game was calling for. 18 assists in that game. That's a crazy number to put up. And I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I believe that's a career high for him. So really great job by him. Again, the last few weeks of the Timberwolves basketball has been about self-awareness, knowing what the game is calling for, and with that proper diagnostic, being able to find victories for as a team. And so you see different players chip in different ways throughout the course of this last couple of weeks, but everything seems to be fitting together and syncing up. And the Timberwolves, since the Jimmy Butler trade, since you've added Robert Covington and Dario Saric, have really been clicking well. And it's been really good to see this team attack opponents a little different. I think last year you were kind of used to the same old approach game in and game out, where it was the same formula that was used for success, and if that formula didn't work, then they were gonna lose. But you really didn't have much flexibility in the way of what you were gonna see from this team. Whereas this year, there's a lot of different ways that this team can win. You see them winning with 2 point guards out there. You see them winning by their point guards doing different things. I mean, Derrick Rose had a good game, but sometimes you have Derrick Rose with a 28-point night. Sometimes you have Teague with a 14-8 kind of night that kind of saves them. Sometimes Towns has a massive game. And again, they really whipped on the Hornets in that fourth quarter. So a few guys had some special performances here tonight, or last night, excuse me. But it just doesn't seem like last year. It really felt like if the big three on this team, we'll call them, in Butler, Towns, and Wiggins, or at least if Towns and Butler didn't really have stellar performances, this ship was kind of going to sink. Whereas this year's team, you have nights where Wiggins goes 0 for 12. You have nights where Covington goes 1 for 18. And it's okay because there's other guys who are picking up the slack. They're playing in different styles. A different style might save the night. Tonight, they hit that, last night, like I said, 12, you want to hit that 12 three-point mark as far as made three-pointers. And they went 12 of 24, and that's right above the average of how many the Charlotte Hornets let up. You really want to attack that three-point line. We were talking about this with Walker Mell, the host of the Locked On Hornets podcast. We were talking with him about this, is that the weakness for the Hornets was that three-point line. They're not going to defend the three-point line well, and they're going to want to attack the rim on offense. And so if you can guard the rim on offense, if you can crowd the paint, force Kemba Walker to try and just facilitate and win this game from outside, and then on the other side, really stretch the floor, it's going to pay off. And early on, you saw them hitting a lot of, you saw them taking a lot of threes. You saw them really going for broke from outside, and that paid off in the long run. And that paid off because the Timberwolves were able to find Towns in heavy doses at the end of this game. And that's what won the game for the Timberwolves. That's what did it for the Timberwolves. That's what helped them find success. So this was a great game for the Timberwolves for a bunch of reasons. They were able to really find consistency from Wiggins. Hopefully this game bounces him back. They were able to be versatile in their attack, even from half to half. Again, lots of threes early on, and then they were able to switch it up. They were able to go back to Towns later on in this game, and that's what ends up giving them the victory. And then it's really encouraging to see this team not be uber dependent on just one style, on just one player, on just a couple players. They're able to find victory a couple different ways. And just to give you some numbers from first half to second half, they went 9 of 17 in the first half from three-point land. Towns had 14 points in that first half. Then you look at the second half for the Timberwolves after they attacked that three-point line. They went 3 of 7 from the three-point line in the second half. Towns had 21 points. There's a difference for you. That's the game. That's the game right there. And Towns shot 66%. It's not like he was taking he took 12 shots from the field, but it's not like that's a crazy amount in two quarters. They just had the opening. They built the matchup there. They built themselves a winning formula, and they hung with the Charlotte Hornets early on, and they were down by two going to the half, and they knew exactly what they had to do coming out. They knew exactly what they had set up for themselves. Teague had 10 assists in that second half. Wiggins had 10 points. Covington had 12 points. They set themselves up for it perfectly. And this is a different team because I'm not sure they do that last year. I'm not sure they look like that last year. And I feel like in this game, if they're down by two, they just go right back to Butler, right back to Towns. Because that's what they know they need to do to win. And they don't know any other styles. They don't know any other ways to win. This team is playing with versatility and creativity. And that's why they're successful right now. That's why they're 13-12 after a really tough start, after a really slow start. And got to commend them. Got to take the hat off for them there. I really, really impressed with the turnaround of this team and really impressed with the way this team has kind of come together after that Jimmy Butler trade. Moving forward, hopefully this means some good things for the road stand that they're gonna embark on. And hopefully Wiggins can keep this fire in his belly going. And hopefully this backcourt is going, because again, like I was saying the other day, the backcourt is going to be a problem on the road again. You're going to take on Damian Lillard, you're going to take on Steph Curry. The backcourt is going to be challenged. Hopefully going into, I mean, it feels like you kind of know what you can expect from Teague now. You kind of know what you can expect from Rose now. And so hopefully going forward with that knowledge, they're able to put themselves in the best spots going forward. You know that Teague is going to be a facilitator. He's not most nights going to be the guy who's going to score a bunch of points, but he's going to be able to facilitate really well, and he's going to be able to create offense, and he's going to be able to create opportunities. Whereas Derrick Rose, he's going to push the pace. He's going to make this team faster. He's going to look to score, and he's going to put up points. He's going to be the one who's going to be a little bit score first. Sounds a little aggressive as far as characterizing him, and he's done such a good job playing within this team that I don't want to let him score first point guard, but he is going to go and get points. He's going to go and attack the rim. He's going to create space for the offense down low, and he's going to create pace. He's going to create speed for this offense. And you know what those guards are going to give you. Now put them in the best spots to succeed, because they're going to go up against some really elite backcourts, and they're going to have to really hold their weight against these backcourts. And they're not going to, defensively, they're not going to be able to slow them down. So you've got to really keep up with them offensively is how you stay in these games on this road trip. We're going to take a quick break for some sponsors, and then we're going to get into the second half of this podcast. This episode is sponsored by Action Heat. Action Heat makes the world's best battery-heated clothing. Heat on demand at the touch of a button. Control your environment with Action Heat. Action Heat clothing is engineered to safely and effectively deliver heat via heating panels similar to a heated car seat. They can reach temperatures of up to 135 degrees and are powered by 5 rechargeable 5-volt lithium-ion batteries that last up to 12 hours on each charge. Action Heat batteries can also be used to recharge your phone or any other gadget while you're wearing them. Perfect for any friend or family on your holiday gift list. Great for anyone who works outdoors, skiers and snowboarders, or anybody that loves the outdoors and hates being cold. That's me. Action Heat clothing provides toasty warmth and comfort for your whole body, including heated jackets, socks, gloves, hats, and even undergarments like heated base layer shirts and long johns. You can stay warm and cozy from head to toe with Action Heat. Action Heat is available in men's and women's and has great new styles and models just released for this winter season. Make winter activities more enjoyable with a blast of warmth. Action Heat is the perfect solution to keep your toasty warm, and even in the most frigid weathers, you can stay comfortably warm. We've got a special deal for our listeners to save up to 20% on your entire order. Just go to actionheat.com/lockedon. Again, that's actionheat.com/lockedon and check out everything Action Heat has to offer. Use the coupon code LOCKEDON at checkout to save 20%. That's 20%. Stay toasty warm while you enjoy all your outdoor activities this winter with Action Heat. We thank them for sponsoring this podcast. So the Timberwolves last year, I think one of the big swings for the Timberwolves was how they played in December and how they played in at the start of January. And obviously you can look back at it. If you look back, the opening of the December was kind of up and down, back and forth, a little rockier. But if you look at how they finished December and started January, there was that 12-3 stint for the Timberwolves where they went on 2 5-game winning streaks, one to finish out December from. So looking at December 18th, if you're going from December 18th to January 14th, they go 12-3, and you have 2 5-game winning streaks in that stretch. One goes from December 18th to December 27th, and then you have another one from January 6th to January 14th. And that really pushed the Timberwolves up into the top, the upper tier of the playoffs right there. Then after that second 5-game winning streak, you had them sitting at 29-16. I believe at that time they were projected to win like 50 games, I think it was around that time. You saw those projections. They were starting to climb in the Western Conference, not just being a bottom-of-the-barrel Western Conference playoff team, but actually looking like they could maybe make a run at the top four. And there was a lot of high hopes. Obviously, they go on and have an up-and-down January, and then in February you have some stuff where you had the Jimmy Butler injury right around the corner. They kind of finish out the year with a little bit of a whimper. But right about that time, December, early January, you had this team rocketing into the top sphere of the NBA playoff picture. And so the question now is, if you're a Timberwolves fan, knowing kind of what last year brought, what are the expectations for this year? What's proper expectations for this year in December for the Timberwolves? Because as of right now, they are 13-12. They are just two teams back from the playoffs. So if you have Dallas at the eighth seed at 12-11, Sacramento right outside the eighth seed at 9 at 12-11, and then you have the Timberwolves right there at 10. And right on the hot on the heels, New Orleans at 13-13, Utah at 12-13. So Timberwolves are right on the cusp here. They've played really well the last couple of weeks. They're right on the cusp of finding the playoffs. Again, they haven't been in the playoff picture in quite some time this season. They've been held back by a rocky start, but now that they're starting to find some cohesion, what are the proper expectations for this team moving forward? Is it fair to expect from this team that they have maybe a run in them here in December as well that is similar to last year, where they can get themselves back into this picture, get themselves back into that playoff contention, maybe find themselves at the end of December, maybe in that 7th, 6th spot? That's where Portland and Memphis are right now. Is that a fair expectation for the Timberwolves, or should the expectation just be that this team find consistency, that this team find a rhythm that they can rely on, that they figure out the best way to use all of their pieces? Because they do have a lot of pieces. They do have a lot of pieces, and it really doesn't feel like they still know how to effectively play Dario Saric and Josh Okogie to the maximum efficiency. But is there still a warrant for some higher expectations for December? Because this is where the Timberwolves really started feeling themselves last year. I think it is fair, if you're looking at the opponents here, I think it is fair to expect something a little more. You're looking at the next few games here. You have Portland, Warriors, Kings. Those are all road games. Suns, and then back at home, Kings, Pistons, on the road, Spurs, on the road, Thunder, Bulls, and then back home, Hawks on the road, Heat, Pelicans, Celtics, and then back at home, Magic and Lakers. And then that brings you right about to the sixth. So that's about a full month there, exactly a full month right there in Timberwolves basketball. So you have a few teams. I mean, the Suns, the Bulls, the Hawks, even a team like the Heat, those should be wins, right? Those should be gimmies. The Heat are not in the playoffs. They're about the same spot the Timberwolves in. They're in the. I know that the West and the East are very different conferences. So at 9-14, the Miami Heat are in the 10th spot for the East as far as the playoff picture. But they're still a 9-14 team. You should be able to find victories over them. Atlanta and Chicago at the very bottom of the Eastern Conference, and the Phoenix Suns at the very bottom of the Western Conference. You should be able to find victories against those teams, and you're playing a few of those guys, so hopefully you can use those teams to kind of spur on some runs in between some tougher opponents. Obviously, a team like the Spurs, they're never to be underestimated, even if they are playing a little worse this year. They're still at home, a very dangerous team. And then you have teams like the Celtics, the Pelicans, the Thunder, the Kings, the Warriors, the Trailblazers. I can't believe I'm including the Kings in this conversation, but the Kings are a good team this year. The Kings are playing really well, playing really fast-paced offense, and the rest of those teams are playoff teams. They're playoff teams. I mean, I know New Orleans isn't really in the playoff picture right now, but that's a team that was in the playoff picture last year, and I believe we'll be in the playoffs again this year once everything is all said and done. So those are really good teams, and it's going to be a tough stretch of games here for the Timberwolves. So, again, the question is it fair to expect this team to really play well and get themselves in a position to find a playoff spot come the end of December and early January? And I think it is for a couple reasons. First of all, you're finding a new defense here, and the addition of Robert Covington is kind of bringing this full circle as far as the defense, kind of bringing the defense into a well-rounded form. You're finding a new kind of defense that's working for the Timberwolves, that's creating turnovers, that's creating points off the turnovers, that's upping the pace of basketball here, and he's also creating space. I know that maybe a couple of players should, it seems like, is a little bit of a simplification for why this team is finding a new rhythm. There's obviously other factors. Wiggins has been playing more free-flowing. Towns has been playing an upper level of basketball this year. But for the most part, you plug in these couple of players that can really space the floor and are really going to be aggressive, go after steals, go after blocks. And a guy like Covington has been inspiring a different kind of defense in the Timberwolves. Finding that at the right time has been important. It has been important for the Wolves. It's been really important, and they've been able to kind of counterbalance some of the defensive woes that they've had, especially early in this season, with that style of defense, with that style of, well, we might give up some baskets to you, but we're going to create a lot of turnovers, and we're going to score off of those turnovers, and that's going to be the equalizer here for some bad man-to-man defense and some bad defense in isolation. So that is one factor. The other factor is that if Wiggins can hit his stride here, I think that this team would be really primed for a run. It's kind of the missing link, right? You have a couple guys here. Rose has been playing out of his mind. Towns has been playing really, really well. Covington, since he got to the Timberwolves, has been playing exceptionally well. You have Teague playing inside of his role. You need that last piece. You need that last guy who can really, on a given night, give you 20 points. And I think Wiggins is that guy. And Wiggins is the piece that they've been missing. They've been able to do it against the Bulls. They've been able to do it against a team like the Hawks or something, where you can go and you can have your stud put up a dud as far as offensive numbers. But against better competition, against better opponents, you need everybody to contribute, especially your max player in Wiggins. And so him finding a rhythm would be huge for the push through December. Another factor, too, is that the Timberwolves are playing really well in the second half, something you didn't really see from them last year, something you definitely didn't see from them early in this season. They're closing out games well, and they're doing it against good teams, especially, again, I'm going to point to these last couple games against the Rockets, against the Hornets. The ability to close out in the fourth quarter against these teams is something that's a little uncharacteristic of the Timberwolves and something that you see from a team that is a good playoff roster. It's something you see from a mature basketball roster. And I think that's hopefully a signal of steps in the right direction. And hopefully that means that the Timberwolves can have a really successful end to December, really push through and win a bunch of these games to put them in a great spot as far as the playoffs. I think you can expect the same kind of push that you saw last year from this team this year because of those factors. It's a new look team, and they're going to be able to accomplish a similar feat that they did last year, hopefully with better end results. So we're going to talk about the Portland Trailblazers on tomorrow's show. We have a guest from the Portland Tribune joining the show, so get excited for that gentleman to be on the show. I will be giving him, obviously, a full introduction tomorrow. Make sure you're tuning in. Thank you so much for listening to today's Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast.